So true. You are so loved by him today. Amen. Why don't you stand this morning? I've got several things I want to share with you. I really want to help you out this morning, though, and as I help myself, because the word is good, right? So what was that old thing, you know, when you got one finger pointing at somebody else, you got how many pointing back at you, right? So I want to help us out today. But I got so much I want to share out of this and kind of different directions I want to go. But I want to help you understand how to live a victorious life. How many love that? How many love wake up every day and you just, man, it's just every day is a great day. You just know it's a great day. How many would just love that? It's just a great day. You know, the Bible promises that. You know that. And he says, with long life, I'll satisfy you, right? Length of days. Length of days. So turn over to Philippians just a moment this morning. And so I love Philippians. It's one of my favorite books. It's just a great book. Paul writing here. He says in Philippians chapter 3, let's look at verse 8. We're just going to go on down here. Let's look at verse 7. That's just what I'm saying. It's so good. But what things were gained to me, these things I counted lost for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, and not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. That's how we attain that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed unto his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the prize of the upper call. I love that. It's an upper call of God in Christ Jesus. Hold up your Bibles this morning. Amen. Let's say it like we mean it. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I do. Today, I boldly confess, my mind is clear, my heart is open to receive God's word, and I will never be the same, never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Give somebody a high five and say, forget about it. Praise God. Hey, I want to talk to you guys about something for a few minutes. We're going to go several directions this morning. I don't apologize for that. I'm just trying to be led by the Spirit here, and I feel like what you may need today. But one thing I want to address with you is, you know, we are people living in a nurse suit, and we have a soul, which is our mind, will, emotions, and personality. And then we have a spirit, which is born again of God. If you've received Christ, you're born again of God. You have the Spirit of Christ living with you. That part of you is already perfect. The soul realm of what God has made us and how we're made up is the area that we find the biggest challenge in. As people, we find that area because that area contains our mind, it contains our will, and our emotions. And so, like most human beings, we find ourselves, you know, having these emotions, having these thoughts, having all this stuff going on in our life. And I was thinking and meditating and praying the other day, and I was driving. I have a lot of windshield time at times. And as I was driving, the Lord spoke to my spirit and said that the reason so many people struggle is because they allow the memories of the past to affect their present. They allow the memories of the past to affect their presence. Memories are really an interesting thing that God has given us, because it's part of our mind, it's part of that soul rim, it's part of our life. And there's so many things that can bring up memories, and when you bring up memories, so many times they're not good. And a lot of times we'll start reflecting on mistakes we've made. You know, oh man, I wish I'd have done this different, or I wish I'd done that different, or I wish I'd said this, or I wish I'd said that, or, you know, if onlys. We have a lot of if onlys in our memories. How many have some of those? And then when you allow them to be brought up into your mind, all of a sudden you begin to have feelings that go along with those and emotions that are attached to those, and they direct our course during the day. And really, sometimes you get up in the morning and you'll have a memory, and that memory sets your course for the whole day. It's how you're feeling during that day. You know, I've gone through a divorce here years ago, and I you have that memory of all that stuff. You know, I want to tell you something. Paul here gave us such a great word, because I believe Paul had a lot of bad memories. There are some good memories. You know, I have some good memories. I have good memories of our girls and growing up and, you know, just being with them and just having a great time. And, you know, we were in ministry, and I told Holly, I put ministry a lot of times before my family, and we didn't take the vacations we should have. But I remember one vacation we took down to Georgia, and we went up to a little cabin, and we tubed down a river that, and you know what, our girls still talk about that. They love that time, you know, and it's just some good memories. I remember them, you know, even when they were fussing in the car, has become a good memory now, right? But there's some real bad memories in my life that, you know, that I experienced through people, through pain, through all these things. And, you know, at times, a lot of times, I have to deal with the challenge of when those come up in my thought life. Mistakes I've made, things I said, you know, just all this stuff. And I find that when I do and I allow that to come up in my life, it affects me. And folks, it affects where I'm living in Christ in the present moment. And I think many of you have this same challenge. There are some people in your memory you need to let go and bury. You just need to let go and bury. Forgive, bury, and never resurrect it. Don't allow it to come back into your memory. If it does creep in, instantly capture that thought. Because there are hurts and pains, and there are places. You know, I remember years ago, I had a pastor named Traficano. He's an Italian guy. I grew up under his ministry, and he was a wonderful guy. And some of you been here, you know him. He was just a great, great man of God. Wonderful guy. He was just so solid in his faith. I remember him preaching a sermon one time. He said, you know, I had a friend of mine who had a real bad habit for many years of smoking. You know, and I always say smoking, you know, doesn't send you to hell, makes you smell like you've been there already, but doesn't send you there. But he said, you know, this friend of his had this, and he got delivered from it. He got free from it, and he is free for many, many years. And he said one day he was just working with a guy, and he said the guy pulled out a cigarette and lit it up, and he said that smoke just drifted his way, and he smelled it. And he said, all of a sudden, I had this desire for a cigarette like I haven't had in years. A smell. You know, a lot of times you'll go to a place and you'll smell pizza pie. It's like, oh, the smell. It's like, and it takes you back. You remember that pizza we had in Chicago and how good it was? Yeah. You know, I mean, and it takes you back. And so many things take us back when we really shouldn't be back there. Because, you know, what did Paul do? Paul persecuted the church. He killed Christians. He slaughtered them. He went out. He was the persecutor of the church. He was the most feared guy. When he was coming to your town, Saul, at that time, and you were a Christian, you were hoping to run and hide somewhere because you knew your life was in your hand. And here Paul's writing this letter, and he's saying, this one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to forget those things which are behind me. I'm going to forget about those bad times. I'm going to forget about how I treated people and how people treated me. Wouldn't the world be a much better place if we could forget and live in the present? Wouldn't it be awesome to just know that, you know what, there's no pastors just now in the present, and it looks good. But so many people want to live there in yesterday. It was so funny. When older people get together, what do they talk about? The good old days. You know how it is. How many of you get around family members? And you start talking about the good old days, right? And all the crazy stuff you did, right? And all the fun you had. And then you start thinking about, and then you start arguing about it. You go, no, that ain't right. No, 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 that's not how it happened. Let me tell you. And then you start getting a fight. It just carries on. Anybody, some of you ain't like our family, are you? So, you know, but, you know, it's just amazing how we allow that past to affect our present. And many people, the reason they can't live in victory because they haven't overcome that past and they haven't allowed it to be defeated in Christ. Because in Christ, in fact, let me show you something here. This is so good. This is so good. And I love this. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:15, 16, and 17. Look at this. This is good. Because God really wants us living now in the present. Because there are some good things in the past, and I tell you, remember the good things. But the bad things, put under the blood of Christ. Don't allow them to come up in your life and affect your life to the extent that is controlling you and controlling your emotions. And you get up in the morning and you have a thought race through your mind about yesterday or what you did and some stupid thing you did or something you said or whatever. And all of a sudden, you're drifting back into that old lifestyle that God didn't want you there. God didn't want you there. God didn't want you smoking weed any longer. Hello? He didn't want you there. He's got better for you. He didn't want you being alcoholic. He's got better for you. Nothing wrong with a drink on occasion, but you don't get drunk to drink. Or get drink to drunk, or something like that. Right? Hello? Oh, pastor. Folks, Jesus did drink wine. It was wine. It wasn't grape juice. You know, religion will tell you it was grape juice. It was not grape juice. It was wine. In fact, he turned the water into wine. It was good wine. Nothing wrong with that. But you don't drink to get drunk. You don't drink to get a buzz. Just saying. We are Christians. We are followers of Christ. We are different. We have grace. Thank God. And Paul said all things are lawful. But no thing's going to what? Control me. No thing's going to master me. Turn to somebody and say, he's really preaching right now. He is. I am. Well, look, and he died for all that those who live should live no longer, what? For themselves. We aren't living for ourselves any longer. We are living for others. We are living to impact others. We are people of influence. We are living to influence others' lives for the better. We're no longer just being self-absorbed, because when you're self-absorbed, that's, you talk about a depressive place. And that's why I never have been able to promote myself. I don't want to be self-absorbed. I want to be Jesus-absorbed. Amen. I want to be able to live for somebody else and to go into a place. And when I go into dealerships or I walk into a restaurant or I go out with my family, I want to influence them for the better. I want to see people's lives change for the better. Anybody else have that desire? Anybody else have that purpose? And you want to see people's life change for the better? Man, there's so much religion, and people are caught up in that. And, you know, it's one thing about denominations and things that are run by men so much. There's just so much stuff and junk and promotion and self-promotion and absorption and all that stuff, man. No, I want to live for Jesus. I want to be an influencer of people's life for the better, not for the worse. Man, let's be influencers. Turn to somebody and say, be an influencer for the good, for the good. You know, influence your children for the good. Influence your grandchildren for the good. I can't wait till at least has 5 or 6. Amen. And Kay at least 2. Come on, Kay. Amen. I can't wait. I want to be an influencer of my grandchildren. Amen. I want to be an influence of my great-grandchildren. And most of all, I want to be an influence on society. I want to make a difference in society. Anybody want to make a difference? Yes. I know you do. I know it's in your heart. I want to make a difference in the black community, in the white community, in the Hispanic community, in the Asian community. Christ is the answer for all that everything is going on in this crazy world. Jesus is the answer for it all. When you're in love with Jesus, man, you don't see color any longer. Color is out the window. And you just love people where they are. Not in the past, not what's going on. There have been some crazy things that's going on in this world. I ain't going to live there. I am not going to live there. I'm going to live in the now and in the future, because all I have is right now and maybe tomorrow. The Lord's grace and goodness is promised there. I'm not going to live for myself, but for him who died for them and rose again. Oh, man. That's why. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. From now on, Paul says, we're not going to regard anyone by their flesh. Think what the world would be if we didn't regard anyone by how we saw them. By the way, you know what you really are? You are a spirit. Your spirit, that's who you are. This thing is going to pass away. What's in you is never going to pass away. And what is in you doesn't have a color. It's spirit. And that's who you are. And that's who he is. And he's a good, good father. Amen. And that's who we are. And Paul says, you know, I've determined to come to the point in my life, I'm not going to regard anybody after the flesh any longer. Whoa. That would change everything. Amen. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, because he came in the flesh, yet know we him thus no longer by the flesh, because he's spirit, right? Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Brand new, spanking new, spirit brand new. That's who you are. Praise God. And then look what he says. What passed away? All that old stuff has passed away. But our emotions want to bring it up. Things in our life want to bring it up. You know, memories stir it up, stir up anger, stir up strife. Anytime you start feeling that, it is not of the Spirit. It is not of the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't have strife. The Spirit doesn't have bitterness. The Spirit doesn't have anger. The Spirit doesn't have resentment. The Spirit doesn't have payback. Hello? There's none of that in Christ. The only in Christ is his unconditional love for you and me. That's who we have in Christ. That's who we are. We are a new creation in him. We are influencers on this earth. The Bible says we are Christ ambassadors wherever we go. And you don't have to be. You know what? You can be different without being so different. How can I explain that? You can be different without being spooky, weird, strange. You can fit in. Jesus fit so well in society, didn't he? I mean, he just went in, hung out with, you know, they accused him of hanging out with the prostitutes and the alcoholics and, you know, what are you doing? Who are you? Because he was able to fit in. And while he was there, he was influencing their lives. You can be an influencer today. Praise God. He is so good to us. All things have become new. Look at the next verse. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us himself through Jesus Christ and has given us that ministry of what? Reconciliation. Bringing people in. Influencing their lives, showing and telling them about God's grace and God's goodness. People don't hear that, man. They tell you God's good and they look at you strange. because they've always thought God is bad and God is mad and God's upset and, you know, God's out to get me, and you know what, I've got to do this to please him, I've got to do that to please him, I'm all this stuff, but I'm telling you, he's such a good God. And you know what, we need to get over this soul rim thing and just say, God, I thank you, I have a new spirit, a new creation in me. I'm not going to allow my past to dictate my present or my future. And don't you allow anybody else to do that for you. Don't you allow people to look at your past and tell you you don't have a future, because in him you do. Amen. In him you do. Praise God. And a lot of people judge you by your past and say, no, you don't qualify. I'm telling you, in Christ you qualify. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done, and what you've been up to. In Christ, you have a great future, a great potential, a great destiny. Amen. People start judging you by your past, by your mistakes. Man, don't allow people to do that. You know when that comes out, that is not from God. That is from the enemy. Because we've all had a past. Aren't you glad it's over? Aren't you glad it's past? Amen. It's no longer there. I'm glad yesterday's gone. Today's a new day. Day for that, and week for that, and month before that, and year before that. I'm glad for today. That's why he says, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. Today is the presence that we find. Amen. Turn to somebody and say, just get over yourself. Just get over it. You know, guys, we bring it up so much and we live in it, and it affects us, and it dictates us, and it steals from us, and it robs us. And that's exactly what the enemy does. He's come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he does it by bringing up stuff. And you know what? When we get together with people, be careful about bringing up stuff in their life. I have a family member, and the only thing he loves to talk about is stuff in the past. And I'm like, when I get around it, it's like, I don't want to be there. You know? I don't want to know that. Amen. Praise God. Turn back to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 15. 3:15. Therefore, Paul says, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are what? As many as are what? Grown in Christ. You know, we come to Christ, our spirit is perfected, but our mind, will, and emotions grow in Christ. We grow and we begin to know how to filter situations according to the word and not what we're hearing, what we're seeing, what we're tasting. Because as a baby Christian, you know, you hear things and you can come easily defeated, or you see things and it shakes your faith. But as you grow in your emotions and in your mind and in your soul rim, things become to line up with the word, and it doesn't affect you like it used to. Because now you've grown. You've allowed the word to infiltrate your soul to the point that when things come up, your faith is still solid and strong. Like when you feel a pain, it used to first think was, I got cancer. That's what they think so much. They have a pain, automatically, it's the worst, it's cancer. And now you have a pain, you say, by his stripes, I am healed. Thank you, Lord. And you go on, and before you know it, that pain's not there. And you don't even realize it. I was thinking the other day about some things I was dealing with in my body. And I just stood on the word, and I'm thanking God for it, and I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for it. And, you know, a week or two went by, and I'm thinking, I don't even remember that. It's not even there any longer. I'm not even dealing with that anymore. Why? Because I've allowed my soul rim to be influenced more by the word than by my feelings. And so as a Christian, you begin to mature and you grow. You don't let what people say to you affect you the way it used to. I am going to knock you into next week. Boy, did I used to have a temper. I pulled out the guy in a Christian school principal one day, and I was going to whoop him right out front of the church. I mean, me and him were, I was going to go, I was ready. I was so angry at him and so mad. I don't do that any longer. Thank you, Jesus. My wife says, thank you, Lord. Why is that? Because you've grown in years? Yes, part of that is part of my maturity, but hopefully I've grown in Christ and allowed him to control my temper and anger now and just chill in him. Because when people say things to you, folks, you have the opportunity to rise up and get shot. I'm just saying. Anymore, when road rage takes place, you better be careful who you're raging with, right? You don't know what they're packing, right? So I'm saying that because this is what Paul says. He says, if you are mature, one of the signs of maturity, if we don't allow this past to dictate our present. And if we could see this in the world today and in the lives of people, what a peace we would be in. What a place this society would be in. We would be so much further advancing down the road of God's goodness and kindness to one another and really, truly helping people and loving people. Amen. And seeing people get up out of poverty. Amen. Because a lot of people are stuck there because that's where they were born and that's all they know and that's where their past is at. But God's got a purpose for them. God's got a purpose for you. Paul says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have what? This mind. What mind? The mind of Christ. This mind that I'm not going to allow my past to dictate where I'm at right now. Because you've got some challenges you're facing. And some of your challenges have to deal with how you were raised, the environment you were in, what you were fed, what you heard, what went on in your life. You have these challenges. And you're going to have to decide, am I going to allow these things in my past to mess up my present and affect my future in such a way that I'm not able to live every day a joyous Christian life and overcome these things and challenges I have because I'm allowing my past to dictate my soul and my feelings and my emotions, and I'm so caught up in this. And I just don't think I can get out. I don't think there's no way. Help me! I'm trapped! And then we start to blame it. It's my mama. I'm this way because I know it's her fault. It's my dad. If only my dad. I have an older brother that he was probably one of the best golfers I've ever seen. Tremendous golfer. He was a scratch golfer. I mean, scratch means he was zero handicap. Could have made the tour. And I remember him making up a little thing one day. He said, I would have been a pro, but my mama said no, and my daddy didn't have the dough. And he allowed, really, that thought, his life, to affect him to the point that he could have been a pro. I mean, he was that good. He could have been. But he allowed circumstances to come in and tell him no. Are you allowing circumstances of your past to come in and tell you no? Or are you allowing Jesus to say, yes, I can? Are you allowing things to come in your life and say, I'm going to live this lifestyle, I'm going to be in this place, I know I am because this is how I was raised, this is what affected me, this is what I've been through, this is what I've done? Or are you going to allow a difference to come into your life and say, yes, I can in Jesus? You know, I put out on Facebook this week one of my favorite scriptures. All the promises in him are yes and amen. I want to tell my girls, don't allow anything, past, religion, churches we pastored, people we, don't allow any of that to impact your today or your tomorrow. You know what? People can be mean, and some of the meanest people I know are religious people. Religious people are sometimes the meanest people. It's sometimes better dealing with a heathen than a religious person. Just saying. It's religious people that killed Jesus and crucified him. You know, there's some mean people. Sometimes, you know, they're just mean. And you know why a lot of that is? Because they've been so caught up in religion that they've just not renewed their mind and to the goodness of God and how good God is. But I want to tell you, young people, don't allow your past to dictate what God has for you now and in the future. Don't judge yourself on past or family. Judge yourself on Christ alone. And Paul discovered this. And you know what Paul said? I can do some things. Oh, you know, I'm so limited, I can do a few little things. Paul had such a persona and understanding of the goodness of God and the revelation of God's grace. Paul boldly stood up and said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm telling you, he is an all things God in you. You can do all things. Don't you limit God. Don't you say, I can't because of my past, because of my failures. I can't because of my education. I can't because of this. You know, some of the most stupid people in the world are some of the most educated people in the world. I'm educated. I can tell you. I have degrees, you know. But I know some of the, hello, are you with me? I'm going to tell you what trumps education every time. Not that education is wrong. You need to get an education. Paul was one of the most educated people I know. But I tell you what he knew something even deeper and better. That's the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God will teach you more in a moment than any university in the world can teach you. The Spirit of God will direct you into triumph and give you favor more than anything else. And wisdom. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand this morning. Have you got anything out of this today? Hello? Have you got anything out of this? Can you give God some praise this morning? Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Danny, come up here a second. Because you know what? God was already speaking to Danny, sitting there. And come up here. I want you up here. Because I love you. Come up here. I'll tell you something. You got a great future. And you just allow Christ to just dwell in your heart so richly and know that God's got good plans for you and you're going to be such an influencer. Amen. Realize that. Don't stop your dream. Amen. Don't allow anything to dictate your dream. You just stay strong in the Lord and know that he's with you always, no matter what mistakes, failures you made or whatever, but God's got good things for you. Amen, brother. Amen. I mean, I just see you growing up and influencing thousands of people, brother. So you just stay steady, stay the course, and know he loves you so much. Would you guys just reach out your hand towards him this morning? Father, thank you for Danny today. God, I just know you have such greatness inside this young man. God, I know you have such a wonderful future for him as he just stays the course and, Lord, just allows your love to dwell in his heart. God, make him that influencer over thousands, God. Amen. Even at school, God, may he be an influencer over those that are there. May there just be such a difference they see in his life and his lifestyle, God, because of your grace in his life. Thank you for this young man. And God, there are others out here this morning with the same potential, God, even great things that you want to do for them. God, we don't allow that past to dictate our lives. God, we have now and we have the future, and we call those things now, Jesus. Hallelujah. We call goodness into our lives. We call forgiveness. We call health into our lives. We call strength into our lives. We call the mercy of God into our lives today. We call the anointing in our lives today. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen and amen. You go and be an influencer, son. I love you. Amen. He's got good things for you. Praise God. Some of you know, God's going to raise you up to do some ministry organizations and run some ministries and do some great things. Some of you are going to be in politics. Oh, we need some spirit-filled people in politics, don't we? Somebody that, you know, just has got some sense, praise God, of the Holy Spirit. Boy, we need that. I wish some of you would get on fire and run for office. Praise God. I'd vote for you. Amen. I would. Praise the Lord. God is good, good, good. Amen. Make a difference this week in somebody's life when you go out. Say, you know what? I'm going to be an influencer today. Praise God. I go to this dealership up in Detroit, and the GM up there, Russ, Arsano, his daughter, makes up little bags for hospitals for children. And but I walk into Russ and I give him books. I gave him John Maxwell's book. I gave him some other books. And when I go, and I've just tried to be such an influence in his life. And it is so cool to see what God's doing, because last time I was up there back in March, he said, "You know, Steve, you know what?" I said, "What?" He said, "Joel Osteen invited my daughter to be with him at Night of Hope in Detroit this year." I said, "Russ, that is so cool." So I jump in the truck with him. They invited me out to lunch one day. So I'm sitting here, next to me is probably a billionaire on this side, Mr. V, Russ, you know, Mr. V's grandson. And as soon as I get in the truck and turn it on, you know, Sirius satellite Russ has on, and he has Joel Osteen playing. And I'm thinking, oh man, he's getting it, he's getting it. And I'm like, yes, Lord, you know, be a person of influence. You never know who you're going to impact and change and what they're going to become. Amen. You never know. Just one encouraging word this week to somebody could change their life and attitude forever. You never know. So I want to tell you, be an encourager this week. Amen. Be an influencer. Amen. And right now, hug 10 people and tell them you love them so much. Would you do that? God bless you. See